Welcome to the High Vibe Tribe podcast with me, your host, Dawn Owen. I'm a wife, a mom, and an entrepreneur, a speaker, a zero BS coach, and a lover of the high vibe life. I help business leaders like you create huge breakthroughs in their life and business so that you can achieve the freedom and impact you want and deserve. In this podcast, you will hear me talk all about mindset, money, and magic. The power trio that I know will get you where you want to go fast. This is the High Vibe Tribe podcast. So let's get to it and introduce my guest for today. I've only just realised that this actually rhymes. It's Trudy Avery, the logo lady. Why did I not realise that before? Welcome.
I don't know if I've ever realised that before either, and I've been the logo lady for about 7 years. Oh, crikey.
I think it depends which way you say it, because if you say the logo lady, Trudy Avery, or Trudy A. Oh no, it still rhymes both ways. So there you go. You can have that one for free. I will not charge you for realizing that it all rhymes. So let's ask you, how high is your vibe today on a scale of 1 to 10? I have had a sneaky peek, listeners, because I just know something. So I'll be amazed if it's anything less than sky high, to be honest.
I was going to say stratospheric, off the chart kind of.
Yes, we love that. And why is that?
Because my word for the year is intentional, and one of my intentions was to do more public speaking, and I've just been hired to do an in-person live event for some business coaches on the subject of branding.
Yay! We love that. And that brings me on nicely, because of course, you know, why would they ask you, Trudy Avery, the logo lady, to talk on branding? Because that is your thing. So before we get into all of that and what you do now, take us back, take us on a journey. How did you end up being the logo lady? And because I find this quite interesting, you are one of only a handful of people that I've met, let alone had on the podcast, who actually have been in a very similar industry. You've been doing this for a long time. A lot of people have done different things and stuff like that. So take us back, let us settle in for a story and tell us how you ended up here where you are today.
So once upon a time,
yes,
a long time ago. So when people say to me, how long have you been a graphic designer? The actual answer is 26 years.
Okay. But
I often say to people, actually, since I was 4 years old, which is a lot longer than 26 years ago. But yeah, when I was 4 years old, my dad used to work at a paper mill, and he came home from work with this huge trunk that was literally jam-packed full of card and paper. There was like all different colors, all different thicknesses, and literally over my entire childhood I went through this trunk drawing, tracing, cutting, sticking, folding, and that was me being a graphic designer from a very early age. I was always being creative, just drawing and doing stuff. And when it came to, well, what do you want to do? I was like, I want to be a graphic designer. So I did, for my GCSEs, I did design and communication. I did A-level design. I went and did HND in graphic design. I became a graphic designer, and I'm still a graphic designer, and I still absolutely love it.
Do you know, and you can hear that anyway, and obviously I can see you and I can see that, and the beaming smile, and I just love that story about the trunk of paper, because I wonder now how many kids actually really get to, you know, work with paper and a trunk of cardboard and paper and stuff like that. You know, that would have been the dream to us when we were little, wouldn't it? You know, and I'm,
oh gosh, yeah.
Crayola crayons and, you know, all that kind of stuff. And yeah, it must have been amazing. And I just wrote down, so you've always been creative, which is the complete opposite to me, because I haven't got a creative bone in my body. I haven't escalated any further than stick people.
I did have a bit of a wobble at one point because I also really loved maths at school.
Okay.
So I thought I might be an accountant at one point.
No, I can't see you.
I can't imagine that now. I just can't imagine it. I would have been the nuttiest accountant out.
Yeah, I know a couple. I think actually it's becoming less, you know, accountant-y these days. And someone that we both know will say, finance is fun. And we'll all go, no, it's not. But she keeps trying to prove us wrong. So you kind of followed your dream that you'd always had and you became a graphic designer. And were you working for someone else at that point? And what kind of graphic design were you doing? Because it's a big umbrella, isn't it, graphic design?
Yeah, so I worked for a small business. He ran this business out of his garage, actually. There was two guys and me. And then they moved to a proper office and I moved with them. And that company grew. So I went from being a junior designer to a middleweight designer. Then I moved to London. I got a job in a design agency in London. And I went from being a middleweight designer, grew to be a senior designer, heavyweight designer, whatever you want to call it. And then from there so that was about 7 years working for other people. And then one of the project managers said to me at that point, she said, oh, do you know what, I want to go and find some cute surfers, beaches, deserts, rainforests, oceans. I'm going to Australia. And I was like, I'm coming. So that was when I exited paid employment, and that was in 2002, I think it was, or was it 2005, maybe 2005, and that was me, and that is actually when I met my husband, Kev, at that point, because, so I was going off travelling, but I was out on a night out in Richmond. And I met this really cute guy who, he's 6'6", I'm nearly 6 foot. Our eyes literally met across a crowded room.
Wow, yeah.
And we got on really well. And he says to me, oh, look, I've got to tell you something. I'm going travelling. And I was like, oh, really? Me too. And he says, where are you going? And I said, oh, I want to go to Bangkok. I want to travel down through Asia and go to Australia, New Zealand, spend a year in Australia. And he's like, oh, me too. And he said, when are you going? And I said, well, I just applied for my working holiday visa, so hopefully October. He's like, give me your number. Because it turned out he'd applied that same time.
Wow.
I know. And anyway, that night I went home in the taxi with my friends and I said, I'm going to marry him.
Wow.
Oh, and I did that. And we did, and we went traveling together.
Oh, you went traveling together in the end?
Yeah.
Yeah,
3 months after we'd met, landed in Bangkok.
Yeah, fabulous. And how long did you spend traveling?
15 months.
Oh, wow. Okay.
It was big.
Yeah. And then came back here. So just before we move on to the next part of the story, so when you were talking through your designer escalation, if you like, from baby designer to master graphic designer, what kind of jobs were you doing? What kind of things were you doing when you were working in London by then, were you?
Yeah, working in London. So I was working with small businesses, a lot the same as I am now in terms of businesses starting up, but also through to big businesses. So, you know, it could have been Coca-Cola, for example. I was doing work with them. Uh-huh. So it's always been a lot of everything.
Yeah.
And it was a lot of websites, just getting into websites. So early 2000s, and we were on the curve of like early adopters of designing websites. I literally remember designing a website that had an animated GIF. It was this lorry that trundled along the bottom of the page, and that was so cutting edge back then. It's like,
yeah, it was, wasn't it?
Because at that time everything was so static. It was like, absolutely, yeah, this is so cool. And getting into flash animations and programming like wizzy-wazzy animations, and it was like crazy stuff. And now, you know, you do that in about half an hour.
You won't believe it. When I just think now, you forget that evolution. When I think back to the first time that I started to go online and look at websites and how clunky it was, Yeah, and now how upset we get, you know, if things don't load in like a millisecond, a fraction of a millisecond, and I'm just like, oh, my computer's so slow. Whereas before, you know, you have the blue circle of doom going around forever, kind of trying to, like, you know, load up. So you went off to Australia, came back, married your husband, and what did you do then?
So at that point, when we came back, we were totally skinned, living with my mum and dad, and for me, I could just have a Mac and start working. So I did that. I just did a bit of freelancing straight off the bat. And then we decided that we would live wherever Kev got a job. So he's a facilities manager.
Right.
And so we spent about 3 months living with my mum and dad. And Kev got a good job. He didn't want to just take any other job. Yeah. It was like, it has to be the right job. So we ended up moving to Northampton. Uh-huh. And at that point, I was quite happy doing my freelancing, actually. I had got some really nice clients under my belt and was not afraid to go out and look for more.
Yeah.
So I got to Northampton, got my, and it really was a portfolio, an actual portfolio.
Oh, really? Cool. A physical thing.
Yes, like a thing I had to carry. I had to carry my portfolio. I went out to some marketing companies and said, look at my work and can you give me any work? And yeah, I got more work and it just went from there, really. And then it got to the point where I was sometimes too busy to take on more work. And then other times, you know, the feast or famine thing. Yeah, sometimes I have no work, sometimes I have way too much work. And then one of the guys who I used to work with in my first job contacted me and he said, hey, well, how do you feel about getting together and forming a partnership so our peaks and troughs can marry out a little bit?
Okay.
And
yeah.
So, and I thought about it, and it was a weird one because he's a nice guy, but we were never friends. And I thought to myself, is that a good way to go into business or is that a bad way to go into business? And I thought, he's got such different skill sets to me. I was the gregarious front woman, and he was the shy kind of backroom guy, the guy that would dot my I's and cross my T's. And so I thought that we complement each other quite well. Yeah. But there was this thing where, like, we weren't buddies, but we fitted together quite nicely. And actually, we did fit together rather nicely for 16 years.
Wow. That's a long time, actually, for a partnership because, you know, I hear a lot of tales and I have my own tales of partnerships that didn't work out for one reason or another. And I think, you know, you said there at the beginning, like, we weren't friends, we weren't buddies as such, which I think, well, should be a good thing. Obviously it was for 16 years because they always say, don't they, you know, don't go into business with your friends. It sounds like a great idea, doesn't it? You know, you get to be with your friends all the time, but actually what you need in a business partner quite often is that other side of you, that complementary side. That's the whole point, I think, of having a partnership or a team, is that you cover off the aspects of yourself, you know, that you haven't got, they bring them to the table. And so clearly that was successful for 16 years. It's a long time.
And we had another partner come in and join us like 7 years in, I think, Shane, who was salesy. He was, again, very gregarious, kind of outgoing, outspoken, effing and jeffing all over the place.
Yeah.
Funny guy. And that worked really well as a trio for ages. But then it got to 2016 and the company had grown. It was about 8 of us. And I was all sorts. I was like HR director, the creative director, the marketing director, the this director, the that director. And the thing that I wasn't, the thing that I really wanted to be, was the designer. Oh, God, you know,
That's really interesting because I think a lot of, you know, let's call them solopreneurs, you know, we say that, don't we? I'm the this director, the that director, I wear all of the hats. And I think the perception is that actually as you grow, that is not the case. And it's interesting, you know, that you talk about that. I was all those things because I think, and I don't think it, let me just start that again. I think the perception is as you grow that you think it's not the case, but actually when you do grow, it's more that you're focused on the sides of delivery of the business than that infrastructure And, you know, I think about our family business, and that grew really quickly. And, you know, at 20 years in, we still hadn't got a HR person, even though we had 100 people working there. And we hadn't got those things because we've been so busy just growing and growing and fixing the cars, you know, and doing the delivery part, to then to stop and think, well, let's just look at the structure of this, and do we need a GM, and do we need a HR person, and do we need a this and that and the other? And I think that's really interesting, because I think as a perception from a lot of solopreneurs, they think that's not an issue as you grow, but I think it actually is.
Yeah, and at the end, I just wanted to go off and be the designer again. Yeah. And I said to the guys, I'm like, you know, buy me out. I want to start again, and I want to do things my way. It gone a little bit sour at that point. The way they wanted to take the business wasn't the way I wanted to take the business. And personalities just didn't seem to gel like they used to, and all sorts of things. But they said they were shocked, actually. They were really shocked. But they bought me out, and I said, the only one thing I want to take from the business is my Mac.
Yeah.
So, literally, there was me and my Mac, and I had to leave all the clients and all that, everything. They just gave me some money and said, see you.
Yeah.
And that was that. And I started off in 2016 as Avery Creative.
Okay. And I think it's really interesting that, you know, you say that personalities are maybe not gelling by that point. And actually, after 16 years, that's understandable. Because we all grow and change, don't we? And we, you know, quite often want different things. And like any partnership, like a marriage, you either grow and change together or you grow and change apart. And so I think for me, I definitely have that view of, you know, I think there's a people come into your life for a reason, a season or a lifetime. And I think that is true. And you learn what you need to learn from some people, and then they, you know, go out of your life or you go out of their life. And so then 2016, there you are, you and your Mac starting all over again. So how did you do that? Because obviously you were saying you got away from what you love the most, the designing. And then earlier you had said when you kind of came back from Australia that, you know, you weren't afraid to go out there and with your portfolio under your arm and get business in. And so how did you start again from scratch in 2016?
Yeah, it was a bit of that again, really. So get out networking, you know, just get out, meet people, grow your network.
Yeah.
Because being in a slightly bigger company, I don't know, the way you get work is slightly different. Although I had been out networking with that. But anyway, different networks, smaller businesses, go out and just find people and build myself a website, get my presence out there, build everything on LinkedIn, build my presence on social media as Trudy Avery, Avery Creative, and then slightly later on as Logo Lady. Mm-hmm. And I contacted, because part of my agreement was I couldn't take any clients, but they had to be active clients. So if we hadn't worked with them for over 12 months, then I could kind of.
Okay. Them. Yeah.
There were a few that I was like, hey, I'm actually here.
Yeah.
And they got quite excited because they didn't want to work with the agency, but actually they did really want to work with me. So.
Mm-hmm. Excellent.
So I had a few little. Yeah.
That's good. And so obviously 2016 feels like a lifetime ago, actually. I mean, I suppose coming up for 8 years. So where did the Logo Lady come in, and what is it that you're doing now, and what is it that you love about your business, and what's your sweet spot of what, you know, the kind of work that you like to do?
I was at a networking meeting, actually, and talking about some job that I'd done, and somebody, as an off the cuff kind of comment, just called me, oh, you are the Logo Lady.
Yeah.
And I was like, I bloody love that.
Yeah, totally. It's great.
Because my clients are all people who want to grow, who want to make themselves successful. And so whether that's a small business who's just starting up, or generally a small business who's looking to grow or just get that bit more professional looking, more serious, they're looking to get better clients, that's when they come to me. And it generally starts with looking at the logo. Mm-hmm. And I always say, give me a blank piece of paper, I'll create you your brand. So mostly from scratch. even if they've got a logo, it's like, oh god, it was rubbish, somebody did it on Canva, don't even know, but you know, so I can start it all again. And yeah, then create for them their logo. Obviously that gives them the brand guidelines, so we've got their brand colors, their brand fonts, we can build out then to their social media presence. This is like their banners, their social media templates, how do they look on paper, so their business card, their letterhead, all that kind of thing. Although not everyone's giving out business cards anymore, are they?
I'm just gonna say letterhead. I don't think I've heard that word for a while, letterhead. I used to always remember people coming to me, we need to order some more letterheads. Oh my god. I mean, just don't do it now, do you? No.
So it's all a Word document, yeah, on the letterhead. And websites, I design people's websites for them as well. So I can literally do everything that a small business needs. And for the bits that I can't do, like the photography or the copywriting or whatever, I can outsource to other people. And like the web build, somebody else will do that for me too.
Okay. So the you talked there about logo and branding and all of that kind of thing. And you know, I find it fascinating. I've seen some of your videos that you post on LinkedIn, the time lapse ones about when people are having a conversation with you. And we've got a mutual friend, Sarah, who's just had her new branding done, which you revealed on LinkedIn. She roars, which was fantastic. So just if you can, because I'm not a creative, as I said, when you're speaking to someone, and I've seen in some of these videos, you know, you already start jotting down things, and it's almost like the basics of the logo, the brand, is born there and then. What goes through your head when you're having those conversations? Like, how do you translate that onto paper?
I know people often ask me, where do you get your inspiration? And when I sit down with a new client and I say, you know, tell me about you. What do you do? Who are you? And they would apologize to me and say, like, oh, I'm sorry, am I talking too much? And I'm like, no, you can't possibly talk too much. And and I ask them prompts like, so how long have you been doing this? Why do you do this? Who do you work with? Mm-hmm. How do you work? How do you want the people who you work with to feel about you? How do they need to feel about you to want to work with you? Mm-hmm. And when they're talking, they're giving off all kinds of signals, so I can see if they're really lively or if they're more relaxed, if they're knowledgeable, if they're fun, if they're crazy, if they're, you know, whatever they are, their personality is coming across, and I get a sense of, okay, so, and who's your target market, so who, what kind of colors are we thinking about, and everything points to colors and fonts for me. So if I'm thinking this person is really straight talking, authoritative, knowledgeable, for me that's a sans serif capitals kind of font. So that's a picture coming in my head. And sometimes it's like, if there is an icon to go with it, it's because I can, they mention something, or sometimes they don't even mention something. And I think that one of the things about being a designer is that you're empathic. And sometimes, not all the time, but sometimes people look at their logo and they say, how did you know? How did you know? Like one lady I designed a logo for last year, I'd put hearts on it. And she said, I am obsessed with hearts. They're all over my house. But you haven't been to my house. How did you know? And I'm like, I didn't. And another lady was like, I used a butterfly, and she said, you didn't know this, but that butterfly means so much to me because of my auntie when I was growing up as a child, and we used to do this, that and the other. And it was like who knows where that came from.
That's incredible. And you know that you can translate someone onto a piece of paper, and I think that, well, not a piece of paper, but show my age again, onto a digital thing, but you know, I know you work on paper to start with. I think it's really interesting that we, as the passive people, the non-designer people, don't actually understand what goes into a logo and what it can actually be saying or conveying to people without us even knowing. So when we do, and you know, I love Canva, it's made life a whole lot easier, but you know, if we do go and just mess about on camera and do something. It's actually, we could be making unconscious mistakes. We could be sending unconscious signals that we're not aware of through our choice of font, choice of color, you know, even just that basic. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, and I just had this conversation in a meeting before where somebody said to me about they chose their favorite colors for their logo. And I said, never do that. Never choose the color of your logo based on your favorite color. But, and there's a big caveat here, sometimes actually that is perfect. That's the perfect color for you. Because, for example, let's talk about accountants. If you, not all accountants, obviously, but, you know, if I'm having a meeting with somebody and he's an accountant, he's going to wear a blue jumper, a navy blue jumper, and that's his favorite color. He loves blue and dark gray and that. And for an accountant, that fosters trust.
Yes.
Gravitas. Yeah. It's kind of, it's, there's a lot of trust in navy blue. It's a very corporate color, very businessy color. So, you know, and that's his favorite color. It works.
Yes.
It absolutely works. And your color is pink. Vibrant, high vibe, feminine, it's perfect. And I'm guessing that's your favorite color.
Do you know what? It's interesting. So I've actually come to love it more. Now it's my brand color. I did love it, but straight up, it would be red or like a cobalt blue previously. But I just felt red didn't translate on the page properly, and I felt like it was a bit too, like, even though my pink, I think everyone knows my pink, it's pretty bold, but I somehow felt like red was just like whoop, you know, danger kind of thing. It just didn't feel right to go with red.
And did you hear what you just said then? It didn't feel right. And I always describe branding as a feeling. Yeah. It is the feeling. And you're right. The psychology behind red is there's the love and romance, care and the passion. But there's also that danger.
Yeah.
And it's a very powerful color. It can be very in your face. Whereas you just soften it a little bit to pink and you've got this whole very feminine appeal and still that shade of pink, and it's like all the different shades and hues, but that shade of pink still has so much energy to it. It still has that really high kind of energy of the more ready side of the pink.
Definitely. And I would imagine, you know, the really softly like baby pink people would not be attracted to that. You know, sometimes I look at things and I go, oh, I just can't stand that color. And I'm one of those weird people. I'm like, oh, I can't buy off them. I don't like the logo. I don't like their brand colours or something. I am that person. Things like that just really matter to me. I'm very visual. And so things like that can kind of turn me off. You know, if I pick a book up and, for instance, the font inside the book is small or the page feels to me like it's too crammed, I will not buy that book. Because it just puts me off immediately. If I like skim through it and it's like densely packed, small typeface, big chunky paragraphs, I'm like, I'm out. I can't do that. Even though I can read really well, it just doesn't visually appeal to me. And I think, you know, this psychology of brand is absolutely fascinating.
Yeah. I mean, designers love white space. Mm. You know, how do you sell white space to a client? You've got to understand that it's not nothing. It's not that there's nothing in that space. It's creating space. It's creating ease on the eye and ease on the brain and the way that people absorb information. You know, you've got to have hierarchy. You've got to have a visual clue to people of what's happening on the page. And as you say, if you just stuff it full, there's only going to be the most determined people are going to wade all the way through this text, when actually you can make things so much easier on people by putting subheadings, headings, bullet points, bold, italics, gaps and areas. And
I feel like we could talk about this all day. Tell us what is coming up for you this year. So at the time of recording, we are mid-February. It actually feels later to me. I don't know if it's because I feel like I've done so much this year already. I feel like it should be March or April already, but we are only in the middle of February. So what's coming up for you? So your word of the year is intentional. What are you going to be putting intentionality, is that even a word, around this year? What is it that you want to do this year?
So I'd love to get out and do more public speaking.
Okay.
And hence being on your podcast. This is a tick.
She's available, people. She's available.
Anyone, anywhere, just must be live and in person or podcast guest extraordinaire. Here I am.
Yeah.
So, yeah, lots of public speaking would be fantastic. Mm-hmm. And just more. I just love helping people and helping their businesses to thrive and become amazing visual graphic. Yeah. So yeah, branding all the way for me.
I love that it's, you said you want more, because I think particularly as women, sometimes we like afraid to say we want more. It's like, you know, I'm grateful for what I've got right now, and it's safe for me to want more as well, you know, and I'm going forwards and there's more available to me. So I absolutely love that. So I actually met Trudy on LinkedIn, and we have met now in person several times. She is very tall, and I love your LinkedIn content. You do great LinkedIn content. So if you're not already connected with Trudy, definitely go and follow her on LinkedIn. I'll put that in the show notes along with all your other contact details so people can find you out. And if you are ready to get your logo zhuzhed up or even recreated from scratch, or you're starting a new business, all of those, you do all of those things, don't you? I think we forget sometimes, just because you've got a logo doesn't mean you can't come to you and go, look, I'm quite attached to this, but I'm ready to elevate it a little bit.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, and to push it out as a brand. Mm. So, you know, the logo is part of the jigsaw. Your brand is all the touch points. And let's look at the consistency across all of them. How are you showing up on LinkedIn? How are you showing up on Facebook? How are you showing up when you hand out your business card? How do you look when people arrive at your website? And it needs to be that cohesion all the way across for people then to be able to say, oh, I've seen her before. I know who that is. I understand who that person is, because they're getting to know you from that visual consistency.
Brilliant. How exciting. I feel like I have to have you back for a part two, because there's like, I can't believe we've been talking this long already, but it's absolutely fascinating to me. So it's made me think now, maybe I should get my logo zhuzhed up, shazazzed up a little bit. We'll see. Maybe that's on the cards for Q2. We'll see. So thank you for joining me today and chatting away to me about all things brand and your lovely journey. I love the story of the dad and the trunk of paper and card. You could have turned into a children's TV presenter. Who knows? You could have been like,
God, you imagine Tony me Hart. On Blue Peter.
Yeah, you could have been like Tony Hart. Now all the young people are going, who the fuck is Tony Who's Hart? Tony Hart? Morph. Just that's all I'm going to say. Google Morph. Right. So I will put all of Trudy's details in the show notes where you can get in touch with her. So thank you for joining me today, Trudy. I'll be back next week with a brand new episode. And remember, you know what to do. Keep those vibes high.
Thank you for listening to the High Vibe Tribe podcast with me, Dawn Owen. I'd love to know what your number one takeaway was from this episode. Feel free to screenshot the episode and tag me in on social media. And if you know someone who would enjoy it too, then don't keep it to yourself. Share the vibes. Don't forget to hit subscribe so you get notified as soon as the next episode drops. If you're not already a part of the High Vibe Tribe community over on Facebook, then come and join us there. The link is in the show notes. And I'll see you on the next episode. In the meantime, keep those vibes high.